got you out of seven.
Blog Talk Radio.
When you talk to me. Coach, You know what I'm saying? With Coach Lee and Coach Holmes. Who knows? But anyway, that's just some idea that we threw out there. But you know what? Let's start to reflect on, you know, women's football. Where is it at? Where has it been? And what took place in 2010? First, I would like to just say, you know, it is the end of a decade that we've put in a full-fledged decade of women's football. We've had many teams come. We have many teams go. We have many teams come and go. We've seen many teams jump from league to league to league. We've seen, you know, 3 to 5 leagues appear over that 10-year period. And, you know, we've seen many championships be crowned. And football has definitely grown from the mere 2 teams that started this whole thing back in 99 to the WPFL. And I know some other leagues out there that I'm just not hitting on, but the WSF, wait, it was WS something on the West Coast. I know that that's where the Sacramento Sirens had started off originally, as well as the Quake and some other folks, and then, you know, the IWFL, and then the WNFL, which wound up being changed to the WNFL. Man, all these acronyms are just killing me. There you go. Thank you, BJ. The WAFL. Yeah, that was it. That was it. And then we went with the, you know, with the 3 leagues, and then we went down to 2 leagues, and then the WFA came about, then the WPFL went down, and then the WSFL came in. And like I said, these acronyms are killing me, but you know what? It's the growth of women's football over the last 10 years. There are some teams that made their 10-year anniversary this past year, 2010. I want to say the Minnesota Lynx. No, it ain't the Minnesota. Come on, not the Minx. I was thinking about the Minx, but the Vixens. I think they celebrated their 10-year anniversary this past year, as well as I want to say the Austin Outlaws also celebrated 10 years this past year. So, you know, those are definitely monumental accomplishments. I mean, again, the average business is said to be a prosperous business after their first 5 years in business. Most companies don't even last that long. I'm fortunate enough to be able to play 6 seasons. Like, this be our 6th season of playing women's football. Like I said, we've kind of dabbled into 3 different leagues, and like I said, it doesn't matter to me. I just want to play football. But, you know, reflecting back in 2010, again, it was great. Oh, thank you, BJ. That's why you're a super-duper producer. You know what I'm saying? Super-duper producer. You know, we already talked about the WPFL. Then we got the AFWL in 2002, the AWFL in 2003. Then we had the LTFL from 2001 to 2004, approximately. We had the NWFA from 2001 to 2008. We had the UWFL in 2002. We had the WAFC in 2002. WFA, I don't know if that's the WFA that you're talking about currently, but you got 2002, 2003. But the WFA is 2009 to current, which would be 2011. Yeah, it's a whole bunch of 8 and all those other good things. But you know what I'm saying. We've definitely grown. And I think my girl Boo still have her stuff listed on her website. And I know I'll get the website up soon or a link that I can mention here on the show. Because, again, Boo was one of the historical matriarchs that kept track of a lot of history and was running her own website off of an AOL account. And just putting the history of women's football, because nobody had done that and put it in context to say, hey, these are the things that we accomplished and that we moved on. And, again, I know I'm going over a 10-year period real quick, but, again, you don't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been or you don't know where you come from. So, again, a lot of our teams are generational chemically made up from the original teams. As I said, we all stepsisters in this game, stepbrothers in the game, because we all saw that it was workable and the passion in the game, and we all decided to expand it. And like I said, there are some other leagues that are out there, maybe smaller with less teams than others. But again, women's football has grown over the last 10 years. Just in 2010, I can fall back on, and actually, you know what? You guys can help me if you want to. I forgot to even mention this. If you feel like calling in, you can always call in 847-826-7278. Once again, 826-7278. And make sure you press pound and one. And my super duper producer, BJ, will definitely let you jump on in and talk. Again, 347-826-7278. All right, moving right along. January 2010, what took place in 2010 in January? Again, the second annual women's football camp and conference took place in the beautiful city of Las Vegas, Nevada. Again, it's the only camp for women's football. It's the only camp for women football coaches, and it's the only camp for women football owners. And they say that it wasn't going to happen, but it happened for the second straight year. It was a great turnout of football campers. We stepped our game up and went on over to the UNLV campus where we had first-class facilities, both indoor and outdoor. And it was a great success. It kicked off with, you know, with, of course, me speaking. We had great coaches come out. You know, we had some coaches from the NFL, Stan Davis, who was with the Cincinnati Bengals, who came out and worked out with the D-line and defensive backs. We had the kicker from the 49ers. Can't think of his name offhand. Oh, man, it's hurting me. But, again, I'm going off of memory, and I'm getting old. But he came out and worked with the kickers. We had Mark Ring, who's been a staple of our women's football camp. We had Anthony Bartley, who also came out. We had Kiala Soon, a wide receiver coach. Yes, thank you. Mike Colfer from the 49ers. PJ, you are the best. Mike Colfer from the 49ers came out and did a two-hour kicking workshop for the kickers that came out, which actually both those kickers, three kickers, made WFA All-American kickers, believe it or not. Do I think it was because of that? Not always, but you know what? It helped. Who else we had out there? We had the Austin Outlaw coach come out and work the running backs. We had Coach Duncan from the Acadia Zydeco come on out and help with the DBs. And like I said, it was a great kickoff to the year. It was a great kickoff to the year. Shortly after the women's football camp and conference, there was a national flag football tournament that it took place. And I know a few teams put together flag football teams. I think it was here in Vegas, too. I know there was one in Vegas. I know that my team wound up mixing with the Houston team. And they wound up winning one of the tournaments that took place here. But I don't know if it was a national championship tournament or whether just the tournament itself. I'm not quite sure. But again, a lot of things took place in January leading up to the season. I know in February most of the teams went into opened up for training camp. I know in a couple of my shows that I went back, I was talking about if you're just starting tryouts and some other things in February, you're on the back end of the bandwagon because everybody's already a step ahead of you. And I see that this year a lot more teams had more off-season training and not waiting until February to make sure that that's the team, you know, or just solidify the teams. What else took place in February? I know there was a couple of football camps that I know that I went to. I went to the Nike camp and I went to the Adidas camp, again, here in Vegas. I'm just fortunate to be in the industry stable of where everybody wants to be and where everybody wants to learn. But I went to two football camps here in the month of February and also March. And again, coaches, owners, players, if you have an opportunity, I'm really speaking to the coaches right now. you need to look out there. There's plenty of football clinics that take place in the month of January, February, and March. I advise all coaches to get out there and get some training in, get some coaching in, or get some advice, or even ask questions. Okay. Going through the month of to the month of March, some of the things that I highlighted, like I said, I do a little research and go back. I know that the California Quake had hosted a round robin scrimmage game out in the city of Downey. And that's great, you know. Again, I know 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I put together the River City Bowl out in Laughlin, Nevada. And it was basically because, again, I'm a big advocate of more game experience, more practice experience, going against some other teams prior to games before the season starts. And I know the concept is not new. It's not new at all. I'm not trying to say I'm the inventor of it at all. I'm not even coming close to that. I'm just saying it's just a big push of mine, and I'm glad to see that the Quake had carried forth that tradition of hosting, you know, an IWFL round robin. After I went, we moved on to another league, which was great. I know that I hosted a smaller round robin of two teams on two separate dates. The new team was the San Diego Sting because they never ever played football before, so that was a great experience for them. And also, the Black Widow came out from the Santa Barbara area, Oxnard area. And again, it was great. Great things going on. And I know there was other events that took place similar to that across the nation. In April, we had three leagues kick off. We had three leagues kick off their season. We had the IWFL, we had the WFA, then we had the WSFL kick off their inaugural season. But it was more of a exposition season. They got teams together. Let's see what we can do. Let's get this thing started. Let's get a jump start on this thing, and then we'll kick it off for 2011, which is great. We had the IWFL kick off with some major strong teams in their league with the defending champs, the Kansas City Tribe, coming back to defend their title. In the WFA, we had the St. Louis Slam come back to defend their title. And like I said, there was a lot of predictions going on out there about who's going to be the best, what league, you know, playing in your division, playing out of your division. You know, some people felt that some divisions were weak and you're going to be in the playoffs just because. And then I was just alerted before the show that the Los Angeles Raiders, you see where I am at. The Los Angeles Raiders have been like, what, 15 years ago? But the Oakland Raiders were undefeated in their division, but they went out of division. When they played out of division, they were defeated. They didn't win out of division, and they wound up being 8-8, and they didn't make the playoffs because their record dictated that they couldn't make the playoffs. So, again, you know, competition is who you play. It don't matter who you play, in division, out of division, you know, it just doesn't matter. You just got to get in there. And you got to win the ball games, baby, just like you would say. Just win, baby. Out, baby. You know what I'm saying? Just win. So when it comes down to getting ready for the season, you know, getting ready for April, you just got to win. You know, every game is a playoff game in my eyes, in my mind, you know. Two losses mean you will not make the playoffs. Let's see. Again, the WFA was, you know, pushing the top teams at that time were, of course, the St. Louis Slam, the Liberty Bells, the Mayhem was another favorite, and then you had the Showgirls on the West Coast. And if I'm not mistaken, the Mayhem made the semifinals. The Showgirls made the semifinals. And Columbus came out of nowhere, I would say. I won't say out of nowhere. They were winning, but they weren't predicted as the top four teams. I think Liberty Bells was the other team. And the Mustangs, who wound up winning the championship were listed. So, again, it was a good preseason, a good projection of the top four teams, and I think it was just one team that didn't make it, and that would have been the Liberty Bell. And I think they lost to the Columbus Comets, which was a great team as well. And then in the IWFL, I think it was the Kansas City Tri was, of course, defending champs, so they were projected to be in, but they rearranged their schedules, their divisions, and I think they wound up being in the same division as the Dallas Diamonds, which has always been a top-tier team. DC Divas was also one of the favorites coming back from that championship, coming second place. And then we had the Pittsburgh Passion and also the Boston Militia. And then, of course, on the West Coast, you had the LA Amazons. And then the re-arising of the SoCal Scorpions came about. So it was good to see the Scorpions back playing ball. And there were some good things that took place. Some teams had started off in one league, ended up in another league prior to the season starting. But, you know, it all got straightened out. Everybody did what they were supposed to do. As we move on into May, one of the most historical events that took place that I know of in women's football that I'm glad to be a part of was the NFL Films came out to do a feature on the Las Vegas Showgirls and also Nikki Johnson. Again, that part of that promotion was putting a face to women's football. And over the last 10 years, that has not been done. I really think that it could have been done on another athlete such as Jessica Springer, who's put in much damage in many championships for women's football. Because, again, I've gotten many emails saying that they could have been somebody else that was bigger, better, faster, that won. Yes, it could have. Like I said, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that's how things are done in the media. So, again, a couple of friends of mine and got together, and we talked about women's football, and we didn't want to do some of the comical things that I've seen out there in the past about women's football or some of the images out there. So, again, Nikki Johnson was a great lead in because she was already involved in NFL Films, being that she had an internship going for the off season, and then also that she was highlighted during a flag football tournament that they had out there. So it had a great story behind it. Again, I was part of NFL Films from when George Allen came out of retirement and went to came and coached us at Catholic University of Long Beach back in 1990. Matter of fact, Todd, the one who did the documentary for us or came out and produced the show, was actually on the film crew back in 1990 and found footage of me with my flat top and all. But it wasn't about me, you guys. It was about the ladies who played football. And that was the story. And I think that was a great, great piece. And I think it's up for an award, an ESPY award, if I'm not mistaken, for 2011. Because the ESPYs already had happened. So it'll be in for next year. And hopefully we cross our fingers and it's due. You know, I think it was a great piece on the dedication of women's football. So it was a good light on women's football. From that, the announcement of the USA women's football team was brought to light. The IWFL had an opportunity to go over and represent the USA. There was a lot of heat on how that was chosen. Were those the best of the best? Were those the best of the best players in the USA, was it the best players in IWFL? Because, again, it was Tier 1 selection. We had some people who had beef about, you know, we're in IWFL and we can't do it, and we're just because we're Tier 2. I know there's some Tier 2 players that were upset that they didn't get the opportunity to do. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. We could have took our middle-class team, you know, our average team, and went over there and won. Just with the experience that we have. But, yes, it was selected. It was great. I think that was another monumental step for women's football. an opportunity to go across the seas and dominate like we did. Maybe a little bit too much domination, but you know what? Hey, we do what we got to do. We got to set the tone. And we don't take it easy on nobody. We play football. We play the game to win. Okay? It was a great showing over there. It was, I think it was a great team. You know, no matter how I looked at it or how unfair I might have seen it, the fact is once it was selected and once it was done, you know, you have to support it. You know, I was rooting, you know, because I've coached against some of those players and some of the coaches that coach. So it wasn't a hard knock that I wasn't a part of it. It was the fact that I just didn't see that it gave everybody an opportunity to be a part of it. What was the selection process? And wasn't open to all, and it wasn't. But, you know, we got over that hump, and we wound up coming with the gold. And like I said, I think it was a monumental achievement for women's sports. What do we need to do? We need to go back to both those two things I talked about, the NFL film situation, and pump the crap out of it. You know, YouTube it, go to ESPNW and say, why aren't we getting, you know, the exposure that we should be getting? You know, there's a website out there, ESPNW. And if you look on there, the NFL stuff, you know, it's men's sports. Am I trying to cut the men off? Yeah, I am, because if it's going to be ESPNW, then let's highlight the women's sports. We got plenty of highlights, and this is why I tell everybody on my show, you're not going to be taken serious until you put a good product on the field. Not only must you put a good product on the field, but you must film that product. You must slice it and dice it and put together highlight videos so that you can send to these companies and say, look at us. Look at us. Look at us. If you're not doing that, then how can they look at you? You know, I try to lead by example. After every game, by that following Monday, I got highlights up and ready to roll with our theme music and everything. And I just think that we should push our products, our programs to the masses. You know, everybody always asks me, Coach Lee, how can we? Hey, if we all do it, it just makes it that much easier. It doesn't matter what team it is. I don't care if I got the Red Robins. You know, they got a nice video. I'm promoting it. I'm pumping it. I'm doing what we have to do to promote women's football, not just my team. Okay? So, again, when we go back to NFL films, it's on YouTube. You know, copy it. Put it on your Facebook page. Send it to your 100 friends, your 400 friends. Same thing with USA Football. I think there should have been a video put together of highlights of all those touchdowns that we scored, because we averaged 62 points a game. You know, I think that I'm pretty sure there's some great highlights there. I know there's some great highlights, you know. But again, if nobody's putting forth the effort, and I'm not just saying anybody, I'm talking about everybody, have to put forth the effort. It's just the numbers game. I tell you guys this all the time. It's simple math. Okay, if there's 5,000 women that played football across the country, and all 5,000 of you guys got the video from YouTube and emailed 20 of your friends, that's 100,000 people that knows about women's football. It's that simple. If you want to take it to the next level, it's that simple. You got to stop thinking that the next person is going to do it. You have to do it. You know, that's the attitude that I have. My attitude is, I'm not waiting on nobody else to do it. I'm going to do it. And once I have that attitude, and then my team thinks on that attitude, then we do it. And then once we do it, we become strong. That's why we have a presence here in the Las Vegas market, is because we put forth the effort. It's not just on one person's back to get it done. It takes a collective group of all of us to make it happen. I know I'm stuck in the time zone here, but, you know, USA Football for women, NFL films, ESPN exposure, and we're still not pounding the pavement hard enough. I think those are two crucial historical events that took place in the middle of the year, even though the ESPN piece didn't come out until October. But I really felt that it wasn't pushed as hard as it can be pushed. I really feel that those who are in power only promoted it within and not without. And when you exclude folks, it's hard to promote it outside. You know, that's why I'm such an inclusive person. I want to include everybody because it's going to take each and every one of us to get it done. Yes, I'm preaching. That's what's part of my show. You know, if you want to be a part of the show, you can always dial in. You know what I'm saying? You can dial 347-826-7278. You know what? You're rocking four quarters with Coach Lee. This is my end of the year recap show, beginning of the year 2011 refreshing show. So, you know, we're going to get through this. Don't worry about it. I feel you. I know what's going on. But moving right along, you know, July 2010, playoffs. It was some great playoff games. I know in the WFA playoffs, it was an exciting game. I happened to be a part of one of the most exciting games. Man, I still get chills and thrills when I see the highlight of how we won out in Austin. You know, the IWFL kicked in and got their playoffs going after taking a three-week hiatus, which was fine. You know, but when it came back, the excitement of football was back, it was rolling, and, you know, the IWFL crowned their champion. The WFA crowned their champion. And it was good to see some great football. Again, it was good to see some great football. Both organizations had great weekend events. But again, I must say this. How do you expect others to support you when you don't support yourself? There's no reason why that both championships should not have been a sellout, you guys. I think we kill ourselves. We put forth such a big effort for the promoting and planning aspect, but we don't get the bodies there because the bodies aren't feeling it, or they don't care. And again, if you have the feeling that you don't care, then you shouldn't be a part of this sport because it takes each and every one of them. Man, that's like a repeated record right now. For those who don't know what records are, not plastic, vinyl, you know, but it is plastic, my bad, that has these little grooves in it, and you put a needle in there, and you hear the sound, and if you scratch it, it keeps repeating itself. Well, that's what I feel like I'm doing all the time. All the time. There is no excuse for each and every one of you guys who play football, who coach football, who own a team, not to be at your championship game. That is the highlight of the season. There is plenty of time to plan, to go. You know, this year I know all three leagues have already put their championship dates. Not quite sure where the locations are. I haven't looked that up. I don't know at this moment, you know. But last year we all knew that the IWFL was in Austin, Texas. We all know that the WFA was in Las Vegas. And still, we had piss poor attendance. And when I say that, I'm saying there's no reason why there shouldn't have been 3,000 to 4,000 people at each game, not 5,000 to 800 people. You know, yes, it was a good turnout, but it was very disappointing. You know, again, how come the sponsors don't roll with us? Because we don't even roll with ourselves. They ain't going to support something that you don't even support. So why would they support it? If you ain't at the camp and conference, you ain't supporting women's football. If you're not at the championship games of your league, you're not supporting women's football. If you're not at a game during your bye week at some other local game, you're not supporting women's football. I think I talked about this. Again, I'm a scratch record, but you know what? That's just how 2010 was. It was great. We had some highs. And we had lots of lows. And the lows can only be explained from ourselves. and he's only giving me blame at ourselves. So again, you got to get out there and support. You got to get out there and go to these games. Don't be such a crab just because you didn't make the championship game that you don't want to go. Now, sorry about that. I had a moment here. I'm looking at the name board. For those who don't know, I'm on womenstacklefootballgroup.ning.com. That's womenstacklefootballgroup.ning.com. Oh, okay. Coach H, you can call in. It don't matter. You know, join the party, baby. Join the party. But again, I mean, it is what it is. But it ain't going to be what it could be, which is great, if we don't get behind our product. Stop being selfish. Just because you didn't do it don't mean you can't support it. Okay? So I'm going to end it with that. With that note on the, as they crown our champions, you know, August 2010, that was the earliest I've seen teams dig in and say, you know what, we got to take this serious. I've seen teams jump in and start their 2011 season in August. I'm talking about tryouts. I'm talking about mini camps. I'm talking about fundraisers, you know, because again, the early bird gets the early worm. Or gets the worm. It ain't the early worm, but it gets the worm. You know? And I'm loving the fact that it just brought out more competition. I think I started even early. September 4th was my first day. We took a full month off, which was the whole month of August, because we did go all the way until late July. And then we hosted the championship game. And then we took a month off. And then we got started again in September. In September, a bunch of new teams came about. We also had teams who felt that, you know what, they want to take women's football to the next level. They co-op together. They talk together. They try to create together, which was great because it was an opportunity for people to talk and move forward. You had a group that felt that they were the better teams in the nation, which, hey, anybody can feel that. There's nothing wrong with that. They went and sought out, you know, investors. They got aggressive on pushing women's football, which was great. It kind of tilted the women's football world upside down for a minute. You know, because everybody was complaining about, well, what make them think that they're leaders? Well, you know, you had a couple of teams that have won championships. You had other teams that have been playoff contenders for years, you know. And, you know, part of it was the coaches want to, you know, from my understanding, the coaches want competition. They want to raise the bar. And that's what women's football needs, to raise the bar and to get the exposure, you know. And they were making every attempt to do that. And that started taking place in September. You know, rumbles started going around and word going around. And, you know, the kneading board was off the hook. And then what took place? You know, again, another monumental event took place. You know, the team decided they wanted to leave, you know, the IWFL. And some of the teams from the WFA had joined forces with the particular group, which was fine and dandy. They met up, had some talks, and again, you know, deals fall through, you guys. You know, everybody was like laughing at them. And personally, I wasn't laughing. I was like, hey, make your moves. Do what you got to do. If I'm involved, I'm involved. If I'm not, oh, what else? You know, but I was rooting for them because, again, they were taken to the next level. Personally, I don't think there's no elitist group out there, no elitist team. You know, best teams play the best teams. We don't know who the best teams are. From year to year, you know, some teams come up, some teams go down. So from year to year, We don't know what's going on. But it was a great attempt. And I think a lot of people are pissed off and mad about the attempt because they weren't included, you know. And personally, I was included for a hot second, and then I didn't hear anything back. I don't take it personal. Hey, either you want me or you don't want me. But I'm not going to beg to be a part of something if you don't want me to be a part of it. So, again, that's just my train of thought, too, you know. My mama told me not to beg. I ain't got to beg to be a part of any group or any association. If you want it, if they want you, they want you. If they don't, they don't. But eventually that particular venture fell through. And then we had the merger of those teams into the WFA, which made the WFA a pretty powering league, meaning that, you know, some of the better teams or the playoff teams are now under one roof. I think the whole idea of teams playing under one roof has been out there for the last 4 years, but it just has not been able to happen. A lot of teams have felt that, you know, they want to play teams outside of their division, outside of their league, you know, to see if they really are as good as they think they are, and to get a little bit more culture and go outside the norm and play. But in the past, we've had leagues that have not allowed the teams to do that. So, again, the growth of women's football is starting to grow because now people are starting to see the light. You know, I think on one of my very first shows that I did ever here on Four Quarters of Coach Lee, the league needs the team. The teams need the players. The players don't need teams to go play. And teams don't need leagues to play in. You see what I'm saying? So it works that way. And people are starting to see that light and starting to understand what their value and their worth is. You know, if you go to a league and you're paying your money and they're not offering you the things that they promised you or the things that they say they can do, then you wasted your time, you wasted your money. You know, I get asked all the time, what does it take to start a league? I said, well, right now, we don't need another league started that's already in the same boat that all the other leagues in. It's broke. That's why I envy the attempt of the prior owners that went out and tried to seek sponsorship or marketing partners or whatever all took place. You know, we don't need no more broke leagues. There's nothing wrong with new leagues. But if you're going to be new, bring something on the table. Oh, my bad. I walked away from the kneeling board. Hey, is Coach Tate on the line? My bad. I know I'm on a roll. But go ahead and drop me in 619. Coach, you there? You rocking 4-4 with Coach Lee?
What's up, Dion?
Not much, man. How's everything going?
Hey, just getting ready for the season like you, like everybody else, listening to you, enjoying it.
Oh, definitely that, man. I'm enjoying some snow. We had snow today here in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. You know pictures, man.
I was walking my son to school in the snow. That was the first time I ever walked in snow with that ball. And I always look at him. I go to the mountains after all that. Go ahead.
Dion, do you know where where's WFA championship at this year? Do you know?
I have no idea at this moment. I'm hearing rumbling of it may be in Dallas. I heard that it might be in Florida, or it might be in Southern California. Those are the three things that I've heard with my ear to the ground. That's what I've heard.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we're just getting ready. I got, you know, wanted to be out there for your camp this weekend, but unfortunately we got one more tryout due to 35 more interested future possible players on the team, so had to have one more tryout. So I'll be unfortunately missing the camp this weekend.
Oh man, I hear you. You know, like I said, I wish you guys could make it, and you know, part of us putting on the camp is to put it out in enough time so that people can actually, you know, build around it, you know, and it's not done purposely. You know, I understand that. It's no big deal. But, you know, again, within a week after this camp, we'll be posting up next year's camp dates so that people can plan. And that's the whole thing about women's football. We gotta learn how to plan, you know. People need to learn how to plan.
I think January is a good time frame for it. I think it's probably the best time frame, you know, right after Christmas. And, you know, teams are probably getting, you know, the last of their tryout done, and pretty much everybody's got their roster set. So I think January is a good time frame for it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We tried it in November the very first year, and it just wasn't conducive because you still had high school football going on, you had college football, you had NFL football, and it just didn't pan out. But for us, it did, because we played in the spring, and we didn't want to do it in December because, you know, people are preparing to go, you know, the family leaving school, doing all those other things. But January is definitely the best time, and like I spoke on BJ's show on Sunday, the plans were and are to have 4 major camps in the month of January, but again, we only can do supply and demand. If the demand is not there, we can't supply that need, and so we got to build 1 before we can build up 4.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. Well, I think you do a good job out there. You know, like I said, I wish I could have made it out there, and you know, wish you the best out there this year, and hope the camp goes well. And maybe next year, definitely make it out there. We'll be able to work my schedule of tryouts around that, you know, once you get your schedule up. So that'll be a good deal. So, you know, like I said, you know, hopefully this weekend snow melts away and you guys are good to go up there.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be all right. It's going to be some great teaching going on. We got some great coaches on board. And we got some players who are eager to want to learn, and that's what I love about the game of women's football. There's never, never, never an opportunity not to coach, you know?
Well, like I said, you know, I think you do a good job, you know, with all you do with women's football, and you and BJ with the online radio, and it's good. So I'll let you get back to your show. I just wanted to give you some props and wish you good luck this weekend on the camp, and hope everything goes well, and we'll see you out there this year, and you know, hopefully we'll run into each other.
Yeah, I think the only way we can run into each other is playoffs, baby. Playoffs! Playoffs!
What's playoffs?
Yes. So we definitely will work on it. I'll be rooting for you guys, and you guys root for us, and we see each other then. If not, we'll
all right,
be both on the sideline taking down notes.
Yeah, all right, DM. We'll talk to you during the season, man.
You got it.
Have a good
one,
man.
Coach Hasley. All right. That was Coach Hasley of the SoCal Scorpions. This would be his first year coaching. And like I said, it's going to be some excitement here. And like I said, I'll probably use the last 10 minutes talking about what's going to take place here. But let me finish up real quick. Again, we had the merger of the top teams into the WFA, which was a great announcement. And the thing about what I liked about it was they put out a press release saying that they're working towards unifying women's football. You know, it was still a situation that if they came, you know, to the league or whatever, being a tier system, everybody wants to scream tier, 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 you know, and I just don't think that we're financially set. And that I think that was the goal of that particular league, a group of teams, was to find the finances so that the best could travel and play each other. But if we can't do that, then we have to play those who are on our schedule, be it that you beat them by 50 or be it that you lose by 50. It comes back down to coaching. Again, I don't think those teams are that much greater than any other team out there outside of the women taking it serious, the women wanting to get better, the coaches taking it serious, and the coaches getting better. The better teams are better because of coaching, point blank. And I put it out there. There's no way in the world teams should be 0-8. It goes to coaching. Look at the NFL. What are they doing? Firing coaches. It's Black Monday today. What are they doing in college football? They're firing coaches. Why? Because it's the players. Not the players. It's the coaches. The coaches have to have a grasp of the game. They got to be smart for the game. They got to teach the game. So, again, we got to see what takes place, and it starts with coaching. So, again, we got the merger of the teams. Again, in 2010, the Pittsburgh Passion hooked up with USA Football and did a referee camp. I don't have any updates on it, but I think it was on December 17th. So, again, we're getting our game out there, you know, from the East Coast down south to the West Coast up north. But we haven't put everything in the same frying pan, in the same gumbo pot, you know. Let everybody taste success. And, again, that was some of the reasons, some of the things that I do personally to help women's football is, one, to help everybody taste the success of the game and then promote it and push it to the fullest. So what does that have to do with 2011? What's my forecast for 2011? You know, how much further can we go? How much further can we take this is the question that's always asked to me through emails or on the chat boards or whatever. And, again, this is my personal opinion. And like I said, I only talk from the heart on this show. This is nothing that's pre-written up or, you know, I jot down a little notes here and there and there. And then I just talk about memory and how I feel. But in 2011, I think 2011 is going to be a big year for women's football if the following things happen. And again, I didn't even write these down. This is coming off the top of my head. One, the coaches put out a good product. Really teach these ladies how to play the game of football. Put them through real football practices. Treat them as real football players. Give them real football plays. Design a system. Don't just make up plays. Design a system that best fits your personality as a coach that you can find the players to put in place, both offensively, defensively, and you have to work on special teams. I'm a special teams guru. I learned from the best. George Allen himself. I still have his playbook that I had since 1990. Yes, no Madden plays, please. Thank you, coach. But you got to teach all three aspects of the game. I hate going to the games in a good offense and sorry defense and sorry special teams. You can tell what teams work on 99% of practice. You got to work on all aspects, 33.3333% of your practice. So if you practice for 3 hours, it should be an hour of offense, hour of defense, and an hour of special teams. It's just that simple. When you come see a showgirl game, you will notice that all three aspects of our game are top-level game now over the last 2.5 years because we emphasize all three. I don't have players that go both ways that often. I might have two or three players. And I might spot them up. But we teach all 11 positions to all players. So, again, step your coaching level up. That's one. Two, we all got to promote the heck out of this game. If there's any year that has passed that you have not promoted, this must be the year that you promote. This must be the year that you email every newscaster, sports writer, sports magazine. We all have to do it. We all have to jump behind it. We got to get the ball rolling. And we haven't even created the ball yet. Well, we created the ball, the game itself. But we haven't pushed it because we're all about ourselves. Three, we got to get fans in the stands. No fans in the stands means no sponsors in your hand. I don't care if you make it free to come to the games. Get the fans to the stands and make your money back on the hot dogs. Okay? There's nothing wrong with giving away free tickets. They only cost you .0000001 tenth of a penny to make anyway. Give them out for free. Give them out to all your local Boys and Girls Club, YMCAs, you know, WMCAs, whatever. You know, get people in the stands. Define who your fans are, your fan base. Go out and get a business card to promote your team. Get your own business card to promote the team. Do a professional-looking game day magazine. It ain't got to be 32 pages or 16 pages. Do 8 pages. Do 4 pages. But make it look 100% professional. Update your websites. Put up current information. Update them weekly. Once we get all that together, then we can go to the big dogs. We can go to Fox Sports West. We can go to Fox Network, not the big network, but the regional networks. We can go to ESPN and say, hey, look at us. But if you're not watching the show First Take with Skip and Jamil Hill and all these writers who have their emails available for you to talk to them, then you need to get them. Because we need to keep knocking at the door. I don't care how many times they tell us no. You know, you got to keep knocking at the door. You just got to keep knocking. I'm not going to knock Jehovah's Witnesses, but if they just keep on knocking, they know somebody's in the house, and here we are ducking and hiding and crawling on our own floor. We got to do the same thing. If we're going to knock down doors, you got to keep knocking. You can't knock and say, oh, nobody's home. Or they ain't listening to them, or they ain't here. You just got to beat harder. And that's what I do. That's what we should all do. And that's where I think we got what we have to do to take women's football to the next level. We ain't hitting hard enough. We ain't beating hard enough. And we ain't chasing it down hard enough. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But most of the time, I've been right, you guys. I hate to toot my own flute and beat my own drum. But this boy, this coach, this guy, he know what he's talking about. Or I wouldn't be doing this show all the time. I know I'd be talking off here, left field, right field. But you know what? When it comes down to it, a lot of things that I've said on this show has come into fruition, be it good, bad, or ugly. It just has. There's some things that I said was going to happen that has happened. People wouldn't hear me 3 years ago. If you can't hang with the big dogs, then you need to stay on the porch, as I've been told. It's not that I can't hang. It's that the big dogs are running in the wrong direction. And I'm not stupid. I'm not going that direction. So I'm going to sit on the porch. So, again, 2011, we got a lot of great things on the table. 2011 is the biggest year for women's football. I know there's a lot of owners out there that are burnt right now. And if they don't start seeing progress, there's going to be less teams next year. You heard it right here from me, Coach Lee. If it ain't happening this year, if it don't happen, there's going to be some teams that's going to just fold up shop that's been around for 8, 6, 10, 11 years. Because we can't afford to do what we've been doing. We've made too many mistakes in the past. We need to learn from our mistakes. And like I said, boy, time flies when you're rocking 4 quarters with Coach Lee. Because I looked up and I'm like, man, is it almost 8? 8 o'clock? Yes, it is. Because that's my song. So anyway, next week, I'm putting a shout out. I'm putting a call out. I'm looking for coaches all over the nation to call in. I want to start interviewing you. I want to know what you're doing. I want to know what's going on. I want to know if it's more difficult than you thought it was going to be. But you're a new coach, an old coach. Hit me up. WomensTackleFootballGroup.com. No, we can talk about this. Okay? We want to talk about it. And like I said, I love talking to other coaches. Let's see what it's all about. Because when you're on the line with Coach Lee, we don't know if you know football. And if you know football, you're all right in my book. So anyway, if you're willing and wanting to be on the show, just give me a call, 702-764-8878. That is my personal cell. You can hit me on the name board, but I am out. It's 8 o'clock. I got to go. Peace. What I am, God knows.
that they're falling off.